Well Tour next year. I'm Dave Anthony, Fox News Radio.
Knowing the Truth with Pastor Kevin Bowling is a live call-in radio program providing doctrinal dialogue, cultural commentary, and insightful interviews with some of today's foremost Christian authors and leaders. Knowing the Truth is the outreach ministry of the Mountain Bridge Bible Fellowship, located on Highway 25 in Traveler's Rest. The goal of the church and the radio program is to seek the glory of God in the salvation of sinners and the sanctification of the saints by the ministry of the Word. For more information, go to www.knowingthetruth.org. Here with today's edition of Knowing the Truth is Pastor Kevin Bowling.
Hey, welcome into the Knowing the Truth radio broadcast today. This is Pastor Kevin Bowling, and we're in for a real treat here this afternoon as we open up our discussion. We're going to be talking about Jonathan Edwards, and even more specifically, we're going to be talking about the unwavering resolve of Jonathan Edwards. That's certainly something that we need to have in our lives today as Christians. I know I do, you know, this sense of resolve that we see exhibited so finely in the life of Edwards. That's what we're going to be talking about. And we're going to be doing that in the context of a book that has just been written by Dr. Steve Lawson entitled The Unwavering Resolve of Jonathan Edwards. Now, Dr. Lawson is going to be joining us here in just a couple seconds, but let me talk about his book here a little bit. It's produced by Reformation Trust Publishing, which is the publishing arm of Ligonier Ministries. And so you can certainly go out to their website in order to find out information about how you can obtain a copy of this book. I highly recommend that you do so, especially, I guess, if you have any young people that you're working with specifically. Now, this is good for all of us. I've been reading through this book, and I've also been listening to Jonathan Edwards again in his great sermon, The Sinners in the Hands of an Angry God. And I've been reading that again, and it just blesses your soul, especially these two things together. So it's certainly, it is good for anyone. But I myself had just given out 4 copies of this to some young people in our church, some young men that are interested in ministry, that are already participating in ministry and helping us there in our church. And so I highly encourage you to do this as well. Let me read a little bit from the publisher about this book, and you'll begin to see, I think, and you'll definitely see when we go through our discussion today, what I mean as to why this is so important. The publisher says this: Jonathan Edwards is well known as perhaps the greatest theologian the United States has ever produced. He is equally noted for his preaching and writing. But in this long line profile, Dr. Steve Lawson considers the unique focus and commitment with which Edwards sought to live out the Christian faith. Lawson examines Edwards' life through the lens of 70 resolutions he penned in his late teens, shortly after his conversion. Lawson is quick to note that these resolutions, Edwards was not merely seeking to bolster his own determination. As Edwards himself said before writing the first resolution, quote, "Being sensible that I am unable to do anything without God's help, I do humbly entreat him by his grace to enable me to keep these resolutions for Christ's sake," unquote. Edwards knew he would never keep his resolutions in his own strength. The resolutions cover everything from glorifying God to repenting of sin to managing time. And drawing on Edwards' writings as well as scholarly accounts of Edwards' life and thought, Lawson shows how Edwards sought to live out these lofty goals he set for the management of his walk with Christ. And in Edwards' example, he finds helpful instruction for all believers. And well, I give a wholehearted amen to that as we look at Edwards' life, as we look at what he wrote, what he preached, these resolutions specifically. I think it will really bless our soul and really, I hope, draw us to emulate something of this unwavering resolve we find in Jonathan Edwards. I want to tell you first and foremost, you can participate in the program today, 1-888-660-WLFJ. That's 1-888-660-9535. I also have Twitter up and running. Knowing the Truth is the account there on Twitter account. And I have email running as well, kevin@knowingthetruth.org. You're certainly welcome to participate in that way. Going to be telling you about a free giveaway here during the broadcast. So without any further ado, let's go ahead and bring Dr. Steve Lawson into the program here today. I should say that Dr. Steve Lawson is the senior pastor of Christ Fellowship Baptist Church in Mobile, Alabama. I think, did they say Mobile, Alabama? But Dr. Lawson serves on the board of directors at the Master's College and on the ministerial board of the Reformed Theological Seminary and teaches with Dr. John MacArthur at the Expositors Institute. Steve, it is wonderful to have you back here on the Knowing the Truth radio broadcast.
Oh, Kevin, it is great to be on your program, and I thank the Lord for your ministry there, and it's just great to team up with you today.
You're a friend and someone that I certainly look up to on a as well, Dr. R.C. Sproul is scheduled to be with me in just a couple of weeks to talk about his book about the Lord's Prayer. And so we're looking forward to that in just a few weeks.
Absolutely. Well, I was just with Dr. Sproul down at Ligonier. They've started the Ligonier Academy and a Doctor of Ministry program. And I was down there teaching and spending time with Dr. Sproul. And what a great man. And I consider him one of a very small handful of people that are patriarchs in the body of Christ.
Amen. And, what a great ministry.
Very much so.
I was hoping today, and first of all, I want to say we really enjoy your ministry as well and the things that you have been writing about. I think the last time you were on, we talked about the expository genius of John Calvin, and that has really been a real wonderful godly resource in the life of our church and working with young people aspiring to be preachers someday as well. And so we really appreciate your ministry and your ministry now that you do a lot of things together with the folks there at Ligonier. And it just seems to be such a great relationship and just have thoroughly enjoyed the fruit of that relationship, if you will. But this particular book, The Unwavering Resolve of Jonathan Edwards, is just something that is so needed in our day and age and where we find the church today. If we could, I was hoping that we could say a few introductory things about Edwards' life and his legacy, but we'll be making a beeline for those major categories of which you can take the 70, and you do, take the 70 resolutions and categorize those. We'll be making a beeline for that in the subsequent segments of the radio program. So can you give us just a brief synopsis of what you write in the opening chapters about Edwards himself?
Sure. Well, the opening chapter is just about who Edwards is that we can fully appreciate what he writes in the resolutions. Edwards was a colonial pastor in America in the 18th century. He is considered to be the greatest pastor America's ever produced, the greatest preacher ever graced the American soil, the greatest thinker. Even Encyclopedia Britannica says that Edwards was the greatest thinker America has ever known, the greatest philosopher, the greatest theologian. It's extraordinary that all of those lines would intersect in one person. Yet beyond that, what marked Edwards was his godliness. Not only was he gifted, but he was extraordinarily godly.
Mm.
And he was the spiritual leader of the Great Awakening, which is the greatest movement of God's Spirit on American soil. And it was an extraordinary time of people coming to know Christ, the church being purified, deepened commitment to the Lordship of Christ. And at the very headwaters of the Great Awakening stood Jonathan Edwards, his pen and his pulpit. And so his life and legacy, he really loomed larger than life in many ways.
Hmm.
Martin Lloyd-Jones, no less, compares the Puritans to the Alps, Luther and Calvin to the Himalayas, but he likens Edwards to Mount Everest, meaning towering over even the great reformers and the Puritans. And I think really he was the recipient of such of their teaching and truth that by the time Edwards appeared on the world scene, he was thoroughly Calvinistic, but was able to implement it into his life as now books and different theologies were being produced to preserve their teaching, and Edwards was able to take it, read it, live it. And so he just stood at a very unique time in church history. So his life and legacy, he lived the life of 20 people. It would be hard to summarize. I just think we need to know he was a local pastor of one church, and he was forced out of that church over a controversy regarding the Lord's Supper.
Mm-hmm.
He required people to be converted and to give a public profession of Christ and live a consistent life in coming to the Lord's Supper, and it proved to be too much. He was put out of his church. He went to the mission field, ministered to Indians, and then in the last weeks of his life became the president of Princeton and tragically died what would be to us a premature death, but certainly in the perfect sovereignty of God and his timing, the appointed time. But Edwards held that office at Princeton, the third president of Princeton, for something like a month and a half.
His daughter then obviously died, not obviously, but some people may know that his daughter died shortly thereafter, just a few weeks after his death, and then I believe his wife died shortly after that.
Yes, it's just the most remarkable providence. His father had just died before Edwards died, and he became the president of Princeton because his son-in-law died. His son-in-law was the second president of Princeton. So his son-in-law, his father, himself, his daughter, and then his wife, all within a period of less than a year, the strange providence of God.
You recount in the book, too, one of the things, the reasons why you are looking at Edwards with such scrutiny, and actually you're answering that question, I'll say, for our listeners' sake, you know, why Edwards? But one of the things that you list here is his lasting influence. And it's just staggering when we look at what is taking place here, what took place after his death. It says here, from Edwards came a large and distinguished progeny, 300 clergymen, missionaries, and theological professors, 120 college professors, 110 lawyers, more than 60 physicians, more than 60 authors of good books, 30 judges, 14 presidents of universities, numerous giants in American industry, 80 holders of major public office, 3 mayors of large cities, 3 governors of states, 3 U.S. senators, 1 chaplain of the United States, 1 comptroller of the United States Treasury, and 1 vice president of the United States. I mean, you're right here. It's hard to imagine anyone else having this type of a legacy.
Yeah, and I just think it shows the authenticity of his life. Our children can see through, you know, what is the reality of where we are spiritually.
Mm-hmm. We'll pick it up right there, Doctor, when we come back from the break. Stay tuned. You're listening to Knowing the Truth.
You're listening to Knowing the Truth with Pastor Kevin Bowling. For more information about today's program, the radio ministry, and the resources we offer, go to www.knowingthetruth.org.
This is John MacArthur welcoming you to Portraits of Grace. When Peter wrote his first epistle, attitudes toward Christians in the Roman Empire were not favorable, and because they wouldn't worship the emperor as a god or indulge in other sinful practices, Christians were regarded with suspicion and disdain. Peter wrote to encourage them, and all believers, to live out their faith amid that persecution, just as Jesus had done when he suffered unjustly. And Peter reminds us that despite the sufferings we might endure in this life, God will reward us with an eternally secure inheritance reserved in heaven for us. Don't fear the loss of your inheritance. It's protected in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in or steal. This is John MacArthur, hoping you'll join me again for Portraits of Grace.
Dale Tackett, creator of the Truth Project, is coming to the Upstate on August 27th for a one-night event. Hi, this is Tony Beam for the Palmetto Family Council, reminding you that seating is limited and you don't want to miss this challenge to live biblically in today's culture. The August 27th event will encourage you and equip you to engage your culture. Remember, Dale Tackett of the Truth Project will be live in the Upstate on August 27th. For ticket information, go to www.truthproject-sc.com.
More and more, people are deciding to secure their family's safety by applying for a South Carolina concealed weapons permit. Dry Fire's class includes the NRA basic pistol course and state training requirements for a concealed carry permit. The class includes instruction from NRA-certified instructors, info on South Carolina gun laws, the written exam, and qualifying with a firearm on the outdoor range. Register for South Carolina's concealed weapons permit class by calling 608-1522 or log on to dry-fire.com. Here's Dr. R.C. Sproul, respected pastor, author, and founder of Ligonier Ministries.
One of my favorite interviewers is Pastor Kevin Bowling, who hosts Knowing the Truth radio program out of Greenville, South Carolina. This is a terrific program, and I strongly recommend that you give your serious attention to it.
Hear Pastor Kevin Bowling on Knowing the Truth, Tuesdays and Thursdays at 1 o'clock on Christian Talk 660 and online at knowingthetruth.org.
Welcome back to Knowing the Truth with Pastor Kevin Bowling. Information regarding the resources referenced on today's program can be found at www.knowingthetruth.org. Now, here to continue with today's program is Pastor Kevin Bowling.
Well, you just heard the announcer there with the deep radio voice giving you the instructions about where to go to find out all the information about the radio broadcast, but it's www.knowingthetruth.org. And I tell you that again for a couple of reasons. One, because you can see out there some of the other broadcasts that are coming up, specifically coming up this Thursday, where we will be talking with Michael Milton about his book called What is the Perseverance of the Saints? And so you don't want to miss that. It's going to be a great broadcast. We'll be talking about that great doctrinal truth of the perseverance of the saints. But I also wanted to let you know that out at that same website, knowingthetruth.org, I put a link in the right-hand column for a free download to Sinners in the Hand of an Angry God, in the Hands of an Angry God. This was the sermon that was preached by Jonathan Edwards, of course. It was preached in July 8th, 1741 in Connecticut. And here is a wonderful reenactment of that by Max MacLean. I'm going to actually play a little bit of that as we come back from the next break. So we'll play about a three-minute segment of that so you can hear it. But the good folks out there at thelistenerbible.com, thelistenerbible.com, are offering a free download of Sinners in the Hands of an Angry God, narrated by Max MacLean. And you can go to the website, knowingthetruth.org, just click on that logo in the right-hand column, and it'll take you right to that page. So we try to make it as easy as possible. Also, I should let you know that the book that we're discussing today, which is produced by Reformation Trust, which is the publishing arm of Ligonier Ministries, on our sermon audio blog of the program today, I put some hyperlinks in there that you can click on that'll take you right to the page where this book is featured on Ligonier's website. Also there, you can download a sample chapter of the book. I also put a copy of that sample chapter in our e-docs on that same website. So that's www.sermonaudio.com/knowingthetruth. And so if you go there, you'll be able to get those free resources as well. Let's go back to our discussion with Dr. Lawson. Dr. Lawson, just before the break, we had ended with this tremendous legacy that was left by Jonathan Edwards. I could easily get distracted by so many of these other features, but I'd better just get us to the point where we're looking at these major categories And so we can start a little bit to talk about these overall categories that are found. Your book says this: in terms of the overall structure of the resolutions, for the most part, they have no noticeable progression of thought from one resolution to the next. However, particular resolutions may be grouped according to theological themes or practical topics. And then you list some of those that are found in here. And the first one is, maybe we could talk about some of the resolutions as you do in your book under this heading. But the first one that stands out is with Edwards under the heading of pursuing the glory of God. Let's talk about that briefly, if we could.
Absolutely. Well, Edwards begins his 70 resolutions. He front loads the focus of the glory of God in the first four resolutions. And that's very foundational. It's very intentional. And we can hear the first question of the Westminster Shorter Catechism: what is the purpose of man? To glorify God, to enjoy him forever. Edwards had drunk from those deep wells of Puritan theology and Calvin's institutes and the prioritizing of the transcendent view of the intrinsic glory of God. And so we're not surprised that Edwards' resolutions mirror this, and he begins there. So for Edwards, the glory of God was everything. And I think for those of us who are listening, this is the key pursuit in all of life. We either live for ourselves or we live for God. And Edwards' purpose that he would live for the glory of God. So the first resolution, if I just read a portion of it, resolved that I will do whatsoever I think to be most to God's glory and my own good, profit, and pleasure. So that was the fundamental question for everything that Edwards did: what will most glorify God? It was the interpretive key for knowing God's will. It was the interpretive key for understanding any text of Scripture. It was the interpretive key for everything that he did. What would most glorify God? And interestingly, he knew that that was not in competition with his own good, that God's glory and his good were companions. So the more he pursued the glory of God, the more he knew he would realize God's best for his own life. And so that's where these resolutions begin. And he desired that it would be a lifelong pursuit. And so he was continually auditing his motives, checking his ambitions, determining the course of his life: what would most glorify God?
I guess we should mention that, too, that these resolutions weren't written casually or even, just in one sitting, but really over about an entire year.
Exactly. Probably a year and a half was the time required to write these resolutions. I think another, even more remarkable, is one, he had only been a Christian for 1 year. Two, is that as he wrote these, he was only 18 and 19 years old. So it shows remarkable determination in the heart of a teenager to pen resolutions like this that he would keep for the rest of his life.
So he goes back throughout his life, at least over that year and a half, he adds some to these, and he keeps checking these along the way. These are what we would call today, a lot of folks in business would be familiar with this, but this is his mission statement, right?
Sure.
This is his purpose that he has written down, and so he's constantly checking himself to see if he is achieving what he has through soul searching, is looking deep and self-examination and poring over the Word of God and in prayer, has written in these resolutions.
Absolutely. Mm. And, Edwards believed that the unexamined life was not worth living, that only as his life came under the scrutiny of Scripture and his own self-examination would he be able to live a life that truly would honor and glorify God.
You bring out in the book that this practice of writing, you know, some sort of statements, mission-type statements or resolutions, was not something that was unique to Edwards at this time, that this was a practice in colonialism. You note that Ben Franklin wrote something, you know, but it was just really moral statements that he wanted to conduct his life by. Even George Washington had some sort of statement. Would you contrast the difference between their statements and what Edwards did? And I think that would be really helpful.
Absolutely. Yes, with Benjamin Franklin and George Washington, their statements were what I would just simply call moralism, meaning just wanting to do good and be a good person, but all in their own efforts and strengths, and really not even according to the standard of Scripture necessarily. Edwards, on the other hand, the Word of God charted the course that he chose to pursue, but he also knew that he could not keep his resolutions just in his own sheer willpower, that it necessitated the grace of God being at work in his life. And so the preamble that he writes to the resolutions is also worth noting, and I have an entire chapter on just the preamble, which is two sentences that sit on top of the 70 resolutions. But Edwards intentionally states that he is aware of his own moral inability to keep these resolutions apart from the sustaining, sanctifying grace of God in his life. I mean, he's very aware of what Jesus said, apart from me, you can do nothing. And Paul said, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So that's the difference between Edwards and these other two great American heroes, Franklin and Washington. Edwards chose the scriptural standard and the grace of God to meet that standard, where they came up with more their own standard drawn from the culture of the day, and they would try to keep it in their own fleshly powers, which, of course, no one can do.
Mm-hmm. Just leads to pharisaical or moralism.
Exactly.
Right. Flowing out of that first pursuit of the glory of God, it almost naturally, certainly in the way that you've listed them here, but is the idea then of forsaking sin, mortifying the flesh, and really applying all his knowledge to bring him into a holier walk before God. Address that just briefly. We're about a minute outside of the break, but if you would, just briefly.
Sure. Well, Edwards understood that sin is the very antithesis of God's glory. So if he is to pursue God's glory, he must be running away from sin and putting away sin and mortifying sin in his life, or he cannot glorify God. And so Edwards understood the necessity for things like genuine repentance and godly sorrow over sin, and that he must fight against sin, buffet his body and make it his slave. And when he did fall into sin, to fully confess that sin and acknowledge it to God if he was to pursue holiness. And so this was not just a philosophical ivory tower type of approach to the Christian life that was disconnected from daily living. This is down where the rubber meets the road. This is down in the nitty-gritty of life. To pursue God's glory, he must resist sin.
Amen.
In his life.
Amen. Well put. It's a great summary and a great truth that we find in the Scriptures. When we come back, I'm going to play about 3 minutes of Edwards' sermon, Sinners in the Hands of the Angry God.
You're listening to Knowing the Truth with Pastor Kevin Bowling. For more information about today's program, the radio ministry, and the resources we offer, go to www.knowingthetruth.org.
With tail-thrashing dinosaurs, 5 state-of-the-art theaters, plus an incredible 160 exhibits, the Creation Museum presents a journey through history that will capture your imagination and appeal to your senses. Walk through the lush Garden of Eden and see exotic animals, Voyage with Noah on the Ark, or buckle into your planetarium seat and prepare for liftoff. Seats rumble, and a cool mist rises in our special effects theater, and animatronic people converse with our guests. Come face to face with a monstrous moving sauropod and have your children settle up on our Triceratops. Browse through our Dragon Hall bookstore to find the latest in DVDs, reference books, and curricula. And our beautiful outdoor gardens lend a finishing touch to your museum experience. Located minutes from the Cincinnati airport, the Creation Museum provides 60,000 square feet of family fun. Prepare to believe.
It's great pizza for a great price. So pack up the family and head over to Speedy B's near Walmart on Woodruff Road in Greenville. At Speedy B's, you'll find friendly faces and at least a dozen pizzas out at all times. Or you can order a pizza. They'll make it fresh just for you at no extra cost. So visit Speedy B's today.
Hi, this is Pastor Kevin Bowling, and I want to take the time to thank John, Ruth, Carlos, and the good folks over there at Speedy B's Pizza for their support of the Knowing the Truth radio broadcast.
Dale Tackett, creator of the Truth Project, is coming to the Upstate on August 27th for a one-night event. Hi, this is Tony Bean for the Palmetto Family Council, reminding you that seating is limited, and you don't want to miss this challenge to live biblically in today's culture. The August 27th event will encourage you and equip you to engage your culture. Remember, Dale Tackett of the Truth Project will be live in the Upstate on August 27th. For ticket information, go to www.truthproject-sc.com.
Welcome back to Knowing the Truth with Pastor Kevin Bowling. Information regarding the resources referenced on today's program can be found at www.knowingthetruth.org. Now, here to continue with today's program is Pastor Kevin Bowling.
Hey, welcome back into the second half of the broadcast. Before we go any further, I wanted to give you the opportunity to hear Jonathan Edwards' sermon. It's narrated by Max McLean, but I wanted you to hear it for a couple of reasons. One, you should know about this sermon. It's referred to by many, arguably the greatest sermon that was ever preached on American soil, and most powerful, I think, is the way most of the time it is stated, but the most powerful sermon ever preached on American soil. Jonathan Edwards here preaching in July 8th, 1741. This is Max McLean. Also, I'm telling you this because we've got a free download for you provided by the Listener's Bible. It's out on our website. Just click on the link and you can download this in its entirety, half an hour or so. We're just going to play about 3 or 4 minutes of it. Here we go.
It is no security to wicked people for one moment that they are not in any apparent danger of dying soon. It is no security for the natural man that he is now healthy or that he does not foresee how he might suddenly be taken by some accident. The unseen and unexpected ways that people suddenly leave this world are too numerous to imagine. The unconverted walk over the pit of hell on a rotten bridge. And there are countless places on that bridge that are too weak to bear their weight. These places go unseen. All the schemes and efforts of the wicked to escape hell while they continue to reject Christ and remain wicked do not secure from them hell for any moment. Almost every natural man that hears about hell deceives himself that he will escape it. He rests on his own false security, flattering himself with the good things he has done, is now doing, or intends to do. Every man plots how he will escape damnation and flatters himself, thinking that his plans are ingenious, that his schemes will not fail. He clearly hears that only a few will be saved, and that the greater part of humanity who have died before him have gone to hell. But each one imagines that his plans to escape are better than theirs. He has no intention of going to that place of torment. He tells himself that he will carry out his plans with such care that they cannot fail. These foolish people miserably trick only themselves with their own schemes. By putting confidence in their own wisdom and strength, they are only trusting a shadow. Most of those who until now have lived under the same means of grace are now dead and in hell. This is not because they were not as wise or did not plan for their escape as well as those who are alive today. If we could ask them one by one whether, when they were alive and heard of hell, they ever expected to suffer its misery, they would doubtless say, "No, I never intended to come here. I had other plans. I thought I could manage well, and my scheme was sound. I intended to carry out all my plans, but death took me by surprise. I wasn't looking for it at the time or in that way. It came like a thief in the night. Death outsmarted me. God's wrath was too quick for me. My cursed foolishness. All this time I was flattering myself with my empty dreams of what I would do later. And just when I was saying to myself, peace and safety, destruction overcame me." God is not bound by any promises to keep natural man out of hell for one moment. He has certainly made no promises of eternal life or of any deliverance from eternal death except those given in the covenant of grace, the promises to us in Christ, in whom all the promises are yes and amen. But surely those who are not children of the covenant, who disbelieve all the promises and disregard the mediator of the covenant, they have no share in the promises of this covenant of grace. Therefore, regardless of what people have imagined and pretended about promises made to natural men's earnest seeking and knocking, it is clear that whatever pains one takes in religion, whatever prayers he makes, unless he believes in Christ, God is under no obligation to keep him from eternal destruction for one moment.
Well, we've been listening to there the narration by Max McLean of the most powerful sermon ever preached on American soil, and I'm referring to Jonathan Edwards preaching Sinners in the Hands of an Angry God, taken from a text out of Deuteronomy 32, I believe, which says, their foot shall slip in due time. And the details with which Edwards described the sinners and their vulnerability hanging over the flames of hell by a spider's thread, the details were so vivid that people in the congregation during the preaching of that sermon grabbed the pew in front of them, assuming that at any moment the floors of the church would open wide and swallow those who were yet unconverted right into hell. A powerful sermon. I encourage you, I'm offering you a free download today to get that sermon. Get by yourself somewhere in your study or somewhere in your home and just listen to it. Listen to the words of it and use it in order to check our own soul, to compare the way that we're living and what we're doing. Are we doing it in light of the gospel of Jesus Christ? Let me go to our guest here today, to Dr. Steve Lawson, and get his comments on that particular sermon. Dr. Lawson?
Yes. Well, that sermon is the most powerful sermon ever delivered on American soil. I believe that to be true. And several things. One, it was rooted in the Word of God. It was the exposition of a biblical text. He brought in the full counsel of God. So it was scripture upon scripture. It was presented with such vivid and graphic descriptions, the power of analogy and metaphors and just painting pictures on the canvas of people's minds. It was gripping. It was alarming. It was disturbing. It elevated God. It lowered man, thus magnifying God's grace that would span that chasm. It created the fear of God within the hearts of people. It was evangelistic. It called people to faith in Christ. It upheld the grace of God secured through the cross of Christ. It was all of these things and more. It was straightforward. It was intentional. It was not beating around the bush. He was not telling stories of anything happened on the way to church today, that kind of thing. He was the embodiment of Richard Baxter's great line, to preach as a dying man to dying men as never to preach again. The sermon was marked by gravitas, a weightiness about it. The weight of glory was upon that sermon, Interestingly enough, he had preached it in his own church 1 month earlier, with little seeming effect. It certainly speaks to the week after week excellence of Edwards' preaching to one congregation that a sermon like that would not stand out in his own flock, because every sermon was penetrating and powerful. And he comes to Enfield, Connecticut, and preaches it there. And, you know, it's as if all heaven breaks loose. And so revival is according to God's sovereign will and purposes. It cannot be manipulated by man. It can't be replicated from one place to the next. The wind blows wherever it wills. Revival is in the hand of God. To revive his people on God's time schedule when and where he chooses to do so. And so that was certainly the case with this sermon. And 1741 was such an important year as the Great Awakening was underway. And many other things took place that year. So the context of this sermon in the midst of a concentrated work of God in that area, to me, are the distinguishing features of the sermon. It was Christ-centered, Christ-exalting.
Amen. Everything that we hope for in our preaching, obviously, and that I lament myself, so few times ever achieve. It's just a wonderful sermon. Free copy for you, free download out at knowingthetruth.org. Be right back.
You're listening to Knowing the Truth with Pastor Kevin Bowling. For more information about today's program, the radio ministry, and the resources we offer, go to www.knowingthetruth.org.
It's great pizza for a great price. So pack up the family and head over to Stevie B's, near Walmart on Woodruff Road in Greenville. At Stevie B's, you'll find friendly faces and at least a dozen pizzas out at all times. Or you can order a pizza, and they'll make it fresh just for you at no extra cost. So visit Stevie B's today.
Hi, this is Pastor Kevin Bowling, and I want to take the time to thank John, Ruth, Carlos, and the good folks over there at Stevie B's Pizza for their support of the Knowing the Truth radio broadcast.
Dale Tackett, creator of the Truth Project, is coming to the Upstate on August 27th for a one-night event. Hi, this is Tony Beam for the Palmetto Family Council, reminding you that seating is limited and you don't want to miss this challenge to live biblically in today's culture. The August 27th event will encourage you and equip you to engage your culture. Remember, Dale Tackett of the Truth Project will be live in the Upstate on August 27th. For ticket information, go to www.truthproject-sc.com.
More and more, people are deciding to secure their family's safety by applying for a South Carolina concealed weapons permit. Dryfire's class includes the NRA basic pistol course and state training requirements for a concealed carry permit. The class includes instruction from NRA-certified instructors, info on South Carolina gun laws, the written exam, and qualifying with a firearm on the outdoor range. Register for South Carolina's concealed weapons permit class by calling 608-1522 or log on to dry-fire.com.
There's good subs, and then there's great subs. Hi, I'm Isaac Feinman, here to tell you about Firehouse Subs and Taylors on Wade Hampton Boulevard. How about that hook and ladder sub, huh? Smoked turkey breast, Virginia honey ham, smothered with Monterey Jack cheese, and fully involved. You make it a combo, just add chips and a drink, and how about a freshly baked cookie or a warm brownie? You'll enjoy it. It's a great sub at Firehouse Subs and Taylors.
Welcome back to Knowing the Truth with Pastor Kevin Bowling. Information regarding the resources referenced on today's program can be found at www.knowingthetruth.org. Now, here to continue with today's program is Pastor Kevin Bowling.
Hey, welcome into the last segment of the Knowing the Truth broadcast. If you would like to make a question or a comment, you only have minutes to do so. We're under 10 minutes now in the radio broadcast. I'm going to summarize a question here that came in during the break in just a second, but I want to remind you that I'll tell you what you need to do. It'll be the best money you've ever spent as far as I'm concerned, but you need to go out here and get yourself a copy of this book out at Reformation Trust Publishing. This is is part of Ligonier Ministries. You can go out to ligonier.org and you can find out how to get a copy of this book for yourself. The name of this book is The Unwavering Resolve of Jonathan Edwards. We need people today, the people of God need to hear again about this resolve that he had. We need to put in place these categories surrounding the resolutions that he wrote. This is something that is so much needed today in our church. We don't hear about, we hear so much about casual Christianity. We hear so much about that nothing will be required of you once you come to our church, and we won't ask you to do anything. You won't be called upon to do anything. Well, here's a different view of Christianity that we find in the writings of Jonathan Edwards, and it will bless your soul and it will draw you into a deeper, more spiritual relationship with our wonderful Lord and Savior Jesus Christ if you'll do that. So to help you understand Edwards a little bit, we've also got a free download of Sinners in the Hands of an Angry God. It's provided by the Listener's Bible. The link on the website out at knowingthetruth.org will take you right to their website and enable you to download a copy of that sermon for free. This book coupled with that sermon, boy, you'll be set here for a month of just meditating upon the tremendous truth that you find in this book. Let me, Dr. Lawson, before we're not going to get to even all of the categories that are here, but the final category of the resolutions that are made by Jonathan Edwards deals with what Ron spoke about in his question. He said the idea of, he wanted to ask you a question about the idea of Edwards during the time of revival when the Great Awakening was taking place. Ron was recalling reading something about Edwards calling for a younger man to come and preach in his pulpit. And Ron's point was that this was an expression of the humility that was found in Edwards. And that happens to be the last category that you point out in your book, the idea of pursuing humility and love. Would you expound that a little bit, please?
Well, absolutely. And again, it goes back to his fundamental premise of pursuing the glory of God. And he understood that if God is to be in the center of his life, then that would require his own humble submission to the lordship of Christ and to the sovereignty of God. And so a continual self-denial and dying to self. And so the incident that's been mentioned to us, what's important about that is it just reflects the humility of Edwards, that God be glorified and that, you know, that he not be protecting his own turf in his own ministry, because his ministry was God's ministry. And it was not even his own. He understood he was just a steward of the mysteries of God that had been entrusted to him, and he must promote them as best he can. And so I think, you know, I would direct our listeners, if they get a copy of the book, The Unwavering Resolve, Jonathan Edwards, on page 54 and 55, I have an extraordinary diary account that Edwards wrote, you know, when he was 18 years old. And My wife has literally had this typed up, mounted, framed, and given to all of our children to post in their bedrooms and in their offices. And it's a remarkable statement by Edwards of self-denial and humility. And so, again, all this can be traced back to even his years as a teenager, desiring that the supremacy of God and the lordship of Christ just tower over his life. And so that would just be my comment on that. And there can never be any competition in ministry between the minister and the glory of God.
Amen. I was going to ask you on a practical question. How has this study and the preparation and pulling together the material for this book? I know a number of folks were involved in it besides yourself. looking over the manuscripts and those types of things. But practically speaking, how have you implemented it there in your church at Christ Fellowship? Do you use the reading of this and maybe some youth-related activities? Or you mentioned a few things there that you're doing personally in your family. Is there some way that you've used it in the church as well?
Well, I can't say that anything stands out any more than, I mean, really what is central, as in your church, is the preaching of the Bible itself.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I use church history and have spoken on Edwards numerous times in our church on a Wednesday night and a Sunday night, and to give them a desire to learn more about Edwards. And we sell in our bookstore several titles involving Edwards' book and life. I mean, beyond that, nothing any more than other figures in church history.
Mm-hmm.
That I speak on and address. And primarily, obviously, it's the exposition of the Word of God that has the real thunder.
Mm-hmm.
Edwards is more of an interpreter and an example of the Scripture itself. Various things. I'll be showing some slides to our church this Wednesday night. I just got back from Princeton and went to the house where Edwards died, and pass on several certain personal things from Edwards' life to our people, just to another reminder to help them prepare for the day they die.
Right.
Long before that time arrives, and Edwards had certainly done that.
I noticed that chapter in there that I thought was just wonderful, you know, just about the fact that Edwards, as you mentioned, already really embodied that statement that was made by Richard Baxter, but the idea that he, you know, he lived his life very cognizant of time and used his time as wisely as possible. I want to make sure before we end the broadcast today that I let people know about your website as well. Tremendous amount of great resources out there at www.newreformationministries.org. That's newreformationministries.org. You'll see books out there by Dr. Lawson. You'll see videos, sermons, articles. Just a number of great resources are out there. And I should mention that this particular book, as I did in the introduction, is part of a series of books entitled The Long Line, or A Long Line, of Godly Men, a profile of these godly men. So first came John Calvin, a profile of the genius of John Calvin, and now the unwavering resolve of Jonathan Edwards. I would imagine Dr. Lawson will be looking at Luther and Whitfield and others as well.
Yes, and Calvin, and there'll be some more along the way as well.
Okay.
So I think great value in studying church history.
Excellent. Well, Dr. Lawson, any final thoughts as we close out the broadcast today?
Well, again, Soli Deo Gloria, living for the glory of God, that which was, you know, emblazoned in the Reformation, you know, became lived out in Edwards' life and must be so in ours as well. So whatsoever you do or do, whether you eat or drink, do all to the glory of God. That would be, I think, the final summation of what we've talked about today.
Amen. I heard you preach on Romans chapter 11 there, the closing few verses, and it ends with the word amen. And even that you preached on was that final amen, and I think that's all that's contained. We don't have time to re-preach that sermon today, but all that was contained in that I give a hearty amen to. And thank you very much for a couple of things. One, first of all, thank you for taking time out of your busy writing, preaching, now also teaching there at the Academy at Ligonier. You know, just your busy schedule to be with us on the program today. We really appreciate it. And then second of all, thank you for your ministry, your writing ministry and preaching ministry. It has been a great encouragement to a number of us, and we just thank you for the work you're doing.
Oh, thank you so much, and it's great to be with you again on on your program. Thank you, Kevin.
Okay. That was Dr. Steve Lawson, and again, we were talking about his latest book, The Unwavering Resolve of Jonathan Edwards. You can get a copy out at ligonier.org. I put a link right on the sermonaudio.com/knowingthetruth website. You can go out there, click on the link. It'll take you right to the page on Ligonier's website where you can get a copy of this book. Also, we've got a copy, a free download for you on our website, knowingthetruth.org. Just click on the logo that says Sinners in the Hands of an Angry God. You get a free copy of that sermon narrated by Max McLean. We'll see you Thursday.
You've been listening to Knowing the Truth with Pastor Kevin Bowling. Knowing the Truth is the outreach ministry of the Mountain Bridge Bible Fellowship, located on Highway 25 in Travelers Rest. For more information about the church and radio ministry, visit us on the web at knowingthetruth.org.
The opinions expressed on today's program are those of the announcers, their guests, and callers, and do not necessarily represent those of the staff and management of His Radio Network, the Radio Training Network, or Clear Channel Communications.
Life-changing teaching and talk for the Carolinas and Georgia. Christian Talk 660.